Today we celebrate what the Lord has done in and through us as we have done this last year's Heart Check. Heart Check is an opportunity for us as Revive to look outside the walls of our church, to look at ministries in our community, in our city, regionally, and around the world, and to be engaged in those ministries, to serve with those ministries, to maybe step out of your comfort zone and to serve with one of our partner ministries as they love people well, as they share the gospel. It's a chance for us to be called to pray for our partner ministries, because I'll tell you what, the same is here as it is with them. If people aren't praying for us, we don't have anything. And hopefully today and through this last year, you've been encouraged to pray for our partner ministries on a daily basis. I know some of you do. And also through Heart Check, we have the opportunity to give financially to ministries, like I said, in our community, regionally, and around the world. To be engaged, to be loving neighbors, to be those who look to the needs of others as greater than our own. And I have some news to report. Our goal for Heart Check this year was $750,000. That's a lofty goal, but not for our God. We had commitments after commitment Sunday of $631,000 and some change. It's up there on the screen. So that was the original pledges. This blows me away. So far, as of last weekend, not even today, we have received $742,000 and $391 towards our commitments. Now, as I look at those numbers, I'm not a mathematician, but I'm glad God takes our math and changes it and does different things with it. We have received more than our commitments, and I have a feeling by the end of this month when the pledges are due, we will have far exceeded our $750,000 goal. So thank you to all of you for giving to Heart Check. Thank you for being a part of that. Thank you for serving and praying and letting God use you to do incredible things. I love being a part of this church. This is just fun. Not many churches get to realize the things we do and do the things we do. So praise God. We are now going to turn our attention to some testimonies of three individuals who have served this last year and have seen God do incredible things. So if you would invite, join me in welcoming our campus pastor at South Creek, Trevor Kaufman and Lainey Venturi, as they come up and share a little bit this morning.
As Paul said, my name is Trevor Kaufman, and I'm the campus pastor at our South Creek campus, and it's such an honor for me to be here with you today. This is an incredible sight and such a family feel, and so I'm honored to be here. And then I'm joined here with Lainey Venturi, who also attends our South Creek campus. Thank you so much for what you do at our campus and in our community. And you help out at an organization called Compass Care, and in fact, you are the South Creek liaison for Compass Care. So why don't you share with us just briefly what Compass Care is?
So Compass Care is a crisis pregnancy center. They have three locations in Rochester, Albany, and right here in Buffalo. Basically, what they do is they take women who are considering abortion and they give them free medical care. They take them in, give them an ultrasound, allow them to see their baby on screen, and explain to them that they don't need to choose between their life and their child's, that they have options. Yeah. That there are options other than abortion for them. And what's really unique about Compass Care is every woman that steps foot into that place receives a salvation message. The nurses take the opportunity while they're with the women in the exam room and share the gospel with them. Say that no matter what their situation is, what they've done in the past, what their future holds, Jesus loves them. And they can experience that love and forgiveness if they accept him into their hearts. And what else Compass Care does is they have what they call post-abortive care, which is where they provide counseling to women who have had abortions in the past. They counsel them through the mental and emotional trauma many still deal with from past abortions, which is a beautiful thing. And if anybody here, you know of anybody who has had abortions in the past, it is such a healing and beautiful resource that is available. So I really would encourage you to look into that.
Thank you so much for sharing those things. And so, yes, absolutely. Just like any of our partners, we love to have relationships with our partner ministries. So we send people there to volunteer and do many things. We also partner with them financially, like we've already just mentioned. And so one of the ways that we've done that over the course of the last year is that we have helped support and raise money for 41,000 15-second ads that are aired on radio and TV. And so as women are desperately looking for help in situations that they are confused about, they hear these ads, they see these ads on TV, and they are drawn into the ministry of Compass Care. And so right now, we are going to watch a video of a situation in which that happened with a beautiful outcome. So let's check this out.
When I found out I was pregnant, a lot of things went through my mind. I was watching TV one day, and Compass Care came across the TV. And what popped in my mind, I was like, in the commercials stating that no one is here to judge you and things like that. And I made the phone call and I got in like right away. I was actually shocked. It was fast. It was welcoming when I walked through the door. When it was time to get an ultrasound, the nurse looked at me and she said, "You look so nervous." And I said, "I am." And I just bust out and cried. And then that's when she asked me what was wrong. And I told her, I said, "I got all these thoughts in my head about this decision. And I don't think it's something that I really want to do." And then I told her how I didn't tell anybody, and she actually, like, put her arm around me. And she told me everything is gonna be okay. And she said, "Trust me, a lot of women go through a lot of stuff, and, you know, keep your faith and all of that." So I knew right then, like, it was God sent for me to see the commercial, like. And she just said, "Give it time. We're not gonna pressure you into anything. This is your decision." I don't know, it was just a good experience coming out here. And even after I had my son, and during the pregnancy, after my appointments here at Compass Care was done, I still thought about the ladies. Like, I thought about everybody, and I always, till this day, I think about everybody that's here, and like the impact that they made on my life. And I decided to continue my pregnancy because I was sitting down one day and I said, "This is not fair. This is not fair to this unborn child." And it was the best decision. When I came home with my son, it was so, like, it was beautiful. Every time I look at my son, I smile.
Yes, praise God. And that's just one of dozens and hundreds of stories of how this ministry has impacted so many women and unborn children. And so why don't you share with us just briefly what it is that drew you in to volunteer with Compass Care and really how it's impacted your life since being a part of it.
So I have grown up in a pro-life family and was taught when I learned what abortion was that it ended the life of an unborn child. But it wasn't until watching the movie Unplanned that it really became real to me. Unplanned is a true story. It's based on a true story of a woman named Abby Johnson, who was one of the youngest Planned Parenthood presidents. And she accepted Christ, became a pro-life activist, and still is to this day. So it's a beautiful redemption story. And after I watched that, I just realized what an attack on the preborn and women abortion really is. And so I started partnering with some national pro-life organizations that, you know, get pro-life legislation signed and all that. And then, Pastor Trevor, you reached out to me asking if I wanted to liaison with Compass Care last year and again this year, and I was so happy to do so. And it's just been so encouraging to see Compass Care's heart behind all of this. Because sometimes it can feel like so many people are against us when it comes to our pro-life stance. But looking at Compass Care and the people that have such a heart for women and the preborn has just been so encouraging and a huge blessing to partner with them.
That's outstanding. And so maybe people are hearing about this ministry for the first time, or this topic has been on your heart for a long time. How are some ways that people can get engaged really pretty quickly here?
So in normal years, Compass Care holds a Walk for Life, which is their biggest annual fundraiser. Typically, they have three centralized walks, one near each of their locations. However, due to persecution and threats of violence to specifically Compass Care as well as the pro-life community in general, they decided to step away from a centralized walk and allow individual churches and families to host their own walks. So that's exactly what we are doing. Right here, this coming Saturday, May 6th, from 10 a.m. to noon, we are going to have a Walk for Life. And so what that means is if you would like to walk, you can have ask people to sponsor you and say, you know, I'm walking for this cause. Would you like to give money and raise money that way, or you yourself can give? And so if you are at all interested in being a part of that, we'd love to see you there. Either come up and talk to me or Pastor Trevor if you see us, or reach out to Bjorn Webb and Allison Carr, and they'll get you connected with the right people.
Yeah, so a tangible way to get engaged very soon. And I think what's amazing about this is that in the past, these Walk for Lives have been selected in specific regions. And so there's been few of them, but they were larger. Now it's being exponentially done in smaller settings and with a far greater and wider spread and impact. And so we're seeing this happen out of the persecution that Compass Care is facing, which reminds me of the church in Acts. When it's persecuted, it's spread like wildfire, and now we're seeing this happen. And so what the enemy meant for evil, guess what? It ain't happening that way. And so we're so excited about that, and we're just excited to see how this is going to continue. So thanks so much for allowing us to share. This is one of our regional ministries that we partner with, and so we're going to shift our focus now. We're going to look at a global ministry, and we're going to hear the story of this following individual as we watch this video together. Check this out.
I was introduced to Storehouse Mission Support, and that was a number of years ago. And we were involved with that, my wife and I, where we would donate to them financially and go to their meetings and so forth. And they were talking about the upcoming mission that they had planned. And she said, well, we got one coming up in February. Would you like to go? And it was kind of that, as like I was standing in the doorway, and all of a sudden, God's hand kind of gave me a little nudge and pushed me through that door, and my hesitation stopped. I said, yeah, I'd love to go. And I got home and I said to my wife, I think I'm going to Honduras on a mission. About 4 years ago when I started doing some service work, it was local service work with 8 Days of Hope, and they would go to somebody's house and fix their porch, and they would go fix their ceiling or paint their house, and you'd be able to get done and you'd get a hug and a kiss from the people that you did it for, and you'd look back and say, you know, look what I did, and you knew tomorrow and from there on they had a nicer home to live in. And that's what I expected from Honduras, to be able to go down there and to fix things. Come to find out, really, that really wasn't the case. You know, I realized that after we left, their vitamins were going to be gone after a certain period of time. The medicine we provided them was going to be used up. The physical therapy that we provided for them was probably going to be worn off. And we're going to leave, and they're going to be still going through the same suffering and struggles that they've been through, going through for years and years. And there was a fellow coming in, Hector. And Hector had apparently MS. He could barely walk. Neither leg would just barely lift a foot off of the ground enough to just really drag it through the dirt. Struggling again on uneven dirt ground and rocks and with his cane. And I said, Dave, I said, you know, maybe we should give him a help if you can. And Dave said, no, Hector comes all the time. He's a very, very proud man. And he'll make it on his own. He always does. Okay. Well, 5 minutes later, Dave comes up and says, Bill, come on, we gotta go help Hector. He just dropped his cane. He's struggling out on the road. Let's go. And we get him down to his house and bring him in and set him on this concrete bench that very well may have been his bed. And we prayed with him for a moment, and then we said our goodbyes. And all this time, Hector never complained, never said a word, never moaned, groaned, or nothing about anything. And as we're leaving, behind our backs, we hear these two little voices say, gracias, adios, And we turn around, and there's these two girls, probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old, that with a smile on their face, and the conditions that all these people living down there, saying thank you, goodbye, and we leave. And that just, that moment with Hector just hit me. I couldn't take it. I just broke down completely. All week long, we see all these people, these children especially, with beautiful faces and smiles and love in their eyes, and adults that just, no complaining, just waiting patiently for us. And then you see Hector, that he's got such struggles himself personally, but yet not a word of complaint from him. And I said, when I got home and told my wife, I said, I'll never complain again about, you know, a sore back or a toothache or a headache or anything like that again. That just doesn't make sense. At some point during a trip, after you give somebody a bag of rice and they come up to you and they give you a hug and unsolicited and a smile and say gracias, That's the permanent fix that's with those people even after we're long gone. They know that they're not forgotten. They're loved by us, they're loved by God, and loved by many, and that love will keep coming back and back to them, and that will stay with them long after we're gone.
It is so incredible what God is doing on a global level, and as we just heard, a regional level. My name is Becky Beers, and I'm one of the co-campus pastors at our East Aurora campus. And I want to share with you, someone who is going to share with us, about what God is doing in one of our local communities in East Aurora. We have been partnering with an organization called the Rural Outreach Center, which is a faith-based organization, and their mission is to break the cycle of rural poverty by helping people to get to a place of self-sufficiency. They do this through a number of different ways that Kristen is going to share with us in a moment, but the main way we're partnering with them is through a work readiness program where they teach what we would call soft skills, interviewing skills, budgeting skills, resume building, workplace conflict, all these things that you need to thrive in a work environment. And this is Kristen Barrett, and she has been an integral part of launching this program. So Kristen, can you tell us a little bit more about work readiness?
Yes. So as you mentioned, work readiness focuses on soft skills, or what we sometimes call life skills, needed to get a job and to keep a job. The program actually started at 716 Ministries in the city, serving vulnerable populations, and saw huge success in people being able to get a job and have the relational and the life skills required to keep a job. One of the best things about this program is our mentors, who partner with our participants throughout the program to encourage them, to provide one-on-one coaching, and to follow up with them afterwards to make sure that they achieve their goals. It's actually something that we think makes this program a big success for our participants. So as you know, like doing something in a classroom is a lot different than doing it out in the real world. So our mentors bridge that gap for our folks.
Something I love about this program is that it teaches the ABCs of work readiness. So get a job, then get a B, better job, and then you start to think about C, a career. So how did you get involved with this, Kristen?
Yeah, so a little bit about my background. Throughout my career, I did a lot of soft skills training, so things like understanding our own and each other's personalities, conflict resolution, how we break down goals into actionable steps, and these are things that are part of our work readiness program. In 2016, I quit my career to move back to Buffalo, near my family, and become a foster parent, and I always assumed that I would get back into working after we adopted our first two kids, but God had other plans. In fact, every time I talked about getting back to work, he sent another kid my way, so. I was looking for ways to fulfill that part of me that missed that work that I was doing. So fast forward to last year, one of our congregants, Bob Gitson, got up and started talking about work readiness and the Rock and doing the program. When I heard the content, I knew that this was a nudge from God to get involved. I thought that this was a win-win. I could give back to The Rock, which actually helped us as foster parents, so circle there. Mm-hmm. And then I would be able to serve people in my community doing something that I really love to do.
So where is the program at now?
Yeah, so we ran a pilot in the fall at The Rock. Over the winter, we ran another session for our Revive team to train up our mentors and our instructors. And then actually tomorrow, we're starting a new session at the new Rock facility out in East Aurora, big, beautiful facility. So we're super excited about that. And one of the things that I will say, going through this program, just being able to see the transformation of people in 6 weeks, in their sense of self-worth, in their confidence, in their ability to speak positively about themselves was absolutely huge. And, you know, for someone even instructing them the program, you know, it's not just the participants. I saw huge learning and growth in myself as well. And so, you know, I saw success in the corporate world, but there's nothing just seeing the transformational change that happens when someone gains that confidence and knowing that you're impacting them for their life now, but their life in the future and, you know, next generations as well. So
that's amazing. So if there's someone here today that is really, their interest in is peaked and they want to get involved, how might they go about doing that?
Right. So there are many ways to get involved with differing levels of time commitment. So we have our mentors who are coaching all throughout the program and beyond. We have instructors. You can get trained to teach one class, or you can get trained to teach the whole thing. We have people that help us during our interviews. So we do mock interviews to help train participants on what it's like to be in a job interview. So you can help us by coming in and interviewing folks. And then we have guest speakers that come in and talk about what employers are looking for in their employees in the world. And so I would encourage anyone interested, 5:30 tomorrow night at The Rock in East Aurora, I will be running the instruction or the introduction module, so you can come and learn more about the program.
Excellent. Well, we are so blessed by this program and the partnership with The Rock. And isn't it good to see how God is moving in incredible ways in our local communities? And so I just want to take a moment. Well, yeah, sure. You can clap for that. Absolutely. I just want to take a moment to thank God in prayer. So please join me. My goodness, God, it is amazing to see how you are working in our communities and ways that we can tangibly see that you're working in our region of Western New York in really powerful ways, and you're working globally. God, we know that even when we can't see it, and even when we can't feel it, and we feel like the world is a dark, overwhelming place, God, you are always active. And for some reason, you choose to use us as we respond in obedience to your activity in the world. And so I thank you for these three organizations and these three testimonies that we've just heard, but we know that there are countless more testimonies of transformation and of your work in the world that we get to be a part of. And so I pray that we would continue to respond to you, each and every one of us as individuals and Revive Wesleyan as a church, that we would respond in obedience and continue to further your kingdom work here. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
God of revival, church. Do we hear those words? A God of revival. That's the God we worship and praise. A God who brings dead to life, transforms lives, makes the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. Church, this God is on a mission to our hurting world, and he's invited you to be his messenger. This mission that God is on is the greatest mission this world has ever known. This mission to bring us, his people, back into right relationship with him. Back with Adam and Eve, sin entered this world and separated us from God. God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we can have this opportunity to be in right relationship with God. God longs to save people. That's God's mission. That's God's mission. My name's Bjorn Webb, and I'm so glad to be here with you all this morning. I'm the director of outreach, and so I may know some of you. I don't know all of you. Would love to meet you afterwards or other weeks here in the future. But how special is it today that we get to all gather under one roof and celebrate all that God is doing? And so, yeah, awesome, right? And so we've got some kids in the room too, as it's a family service. And so what I want is, if you are a student and you don't normally attend church with your parents, can you just raise your hand really high? Be bold with it, straight up there, all the way up. All right, look around, church. We see some students here. All right, students, I want you to hear this, and everyone else too. Students, you are the future of the church. But even more so, and I want students and adults and all of us alike to hear this, students, you are also the present of the church. Because this mission that God is on involves you too. Because when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, that Holy Spirit's the same for you as a student as it is for your parents. And so this message today, as we talk about God speaking to us and inviting us to be his messenger, students, it's for you too. Because God can speak to us no matter our age, no matter our stage of life. All right, so for students, I want to share a story of when I was maybe about your age. So when I was 12 years old, I was baptized. We celebrated baptisms here this last weekend. There were 23 people that were baptized. Praise God. And when I was baptized, right, baptism is publicly proclaiming your faith in Jesus. So when I was 12, I got in front of my local church. I professed my faith in Jesus, that I believed that Jesus was the Son of God, and he died for my sins, and he rose again, right? I proclaimed that I believed that. And then with the symbolism of water, symbolized that the old life is gone and the new life has come. So about a year after I was baptized, I had this opportunity to serve on my first global mission trip. So when I was 13, I went to Peru, and my dad was leading the trip. He's here today. And on the way back from that trip was the first time that I remember God speaking to me. And I didn't fully know what God was saying at that time, but through discernment and prayer and study, I've learned what God was speaking to me. And so on the plane ride back from Peru, my dad asked me a question. He leaned over to me and he said, "Bjorn, could you ever see yourself being a missionary when you're older?" What do you think my response was? I said, "No." About as quick as that. And as I remember, I don't think the conversation went any farther than that. Right? But it was in that moment, through that question, that God started speaking to my heart. And so I started asking the question, okay, maybe I was called to be a global missionary. I don't know. What does that look like? So we got back from this mission trip, and I was given the opportunity to speak at a large adult Bible study at our church. And I shared some of my faith and some of the experience that I had on this trip. And I was scared to death. This little 13-year-old kid, and they're asking me to share about Jesus in front of adults. Not for me. But I did, reluctantly. I stepped out and I said, "All right, I'll do it." And I thought it was terrible. I didn't think anything I said made sense, nothing. But afterwards, elders of the church and other adults that were in that Bible study came up to me afterwards, and they spoke truth and life over me. And they said, "Bjorn, keep sharing your faith. Keep proclaiming the name of Jesus wherever you go." And so it was in that moment that God was speaking to me again. I was like, okay, what is God saying? It was in that moment that I knew that God was calling me to be his messenger. But the question arose, what does it mean to be God's messenger? What does it mean to be God's messenger? And that's the question we're going to dive into today. But before we do so, before we dive into scripture and read what it has to say about this, I want us to pray together. Instead of praying as we normally do, where I pray and you close your eyes and we participate silently in your heads, I want us to participate in a participatory prayer. So I ask where you're seated, if you're comfortable, to put your hands just like this. Now, there's nothing special about putting our hands like this, the same that there's nothing special about raising our hands in worship, but I know for me, when I engage my body in what I'm doing, it helps me center myself and focus and eliminate all distractions. This position here is a position of receiving, right? If I was to hand you something, you may receive it. And so today, I believe we're going to receive something from God. And so let us put our hands like this and receive. And I ask you to pray with your words out loud and just repeat after me as we pray together here. Let's pray. Lord, speak to me. And let me listen. Amen. So what does it mean to be God's messenger? So we're going to be reading out of Romans chapter 10 today. So if you have your Bible or your smartphone or you want to follow on the screen, you can do so. Parents, if you're with your kids, help them find Romans chapter 10. So Romans chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 1, and it says this. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Christians in Rome, the Church of Rome. He's saying the longing of Paul's heart is for people to be saved, and he prays for them. A beautiful picture of the heart. We keep reading, starting in verse 3. We're going to read 3 and 4, and it says this. They don't understand God's way of making people right with himself, refusing to accept God's way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. Now here, Paul's addressing something where there are many people that may think that if I follow all the laws, if I follow the rules, if I'm a good person, that that's what makes me right with God. But he then says that's not the case, right? It's by the power and grace of God that we're saved through our belief, right? So Paul's addressing that, and he corrects that. And so, church, I want us today to check our hearts. And so I have a question for you. Does your heart long for people to be saved, and do you pray for them? Right? That's what Paul did. He longed for people to be saved, and he prayed for them. Right, we've already spoken that God's mission is to save people. That's what God longs for. So Paul's heart aligned with that, and he prayed for them. We all know people in our lives that may not know Christ yet. The key word is yet. They don't know Christ yet. Do we long for them to be saved in our hearts? Do we long for it? And if so, what do we do about it? Do we pray for those people by name? Maybe, maybe not. Let's ask another question, take it a step further. Do we as Revive Wesleyan, do we as Revive Wesleyan long for people to be saved? And do we as the local church pray for them? It's that question right there that's at the heart of Heart Check and how this came about 15 years ago. Focusing on not only ourselves and what's happening inside the walls of this church, but focusing on what's happening outside. Because God's on a mission to our world, not just Revive Wesleyan. So we participate and engage with what God is doing all over the world. Heart Check is simply an opportunity for us to engage and participate in what the Holy Spirit is doing. And we can do so in three ways, right? We participate by praying above and beyond. We participate by serving and volunteering and stepping out above and beyond. And we participate by giving financially above and beyond. We check our hearts to see where our treasure really lies and how we are actively participating with what God is doing. Now, historically, Revive has given over $14 million over the past 15 years to participate with the global church, with the regional church, and with the local church, to participate with what God is doing because God's mission is so much bigger than what we can see. And we want to be a part of that, right? Because God's invited us to. So why should you participate with Heart Check, with serving and praying and giving? Why should you? Because God is on a mission to our hurting world, and he's invited you to be his messenger. God's invited you to be his messenger. So in order to align with God's team, and align with God's heart, as Paul did, right? Paul longed for people to be saved, and he prayed for them. We must first know what the mission is. And let me maybe explain it this way. The Buffalo Bills, as an organization, their organizational goal is to win the Super Bowl, yeah? And so if that's their goal, and there's not a coach, if there is a coach, a staff member, a player, or a fan that is not pursuing that goal, that doesn't make sense, right? And so it's the same with God's mission. That's why it's mission critical for understand what God's mission is. Because once we understand what God's mission is, then we know where we can participate in it. Because if there's a member of the Christian body of the church that's not participating with God's mission, it doesn't make sense, right? That's why it's mission critical for us to know what God's mission is and where we fall in line. So let's keep reading in Romans chapter 10, and we're going to start in verses 9 here. Verse 9 says this: if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. And we keep reading in verse 13 where it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Church, everyone can be in loving relationship with God, right? God's mission is to everyone, all of us. And scripture is very clear when it says that it's by God's grace that we're saved. And so if God does all the saving, right? It's by God's grace. If God does all the saving, where do we fit in? What's my role? Right? That's that question I was asking myself when I was 13. As God started speaking to me and he said, Bjorn, I want you to be my messenger. I was like, okay, God, like, maybe I'll respond. I don't know. But what's my role? Like, what do I do? What do I do? What's my role? So let's keep reading in verse 14. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? So here we have this series of questions working backwards from God's mission, right? God's mission is for people to call on his name and be saved. And so if for people to call on Jesus' name to be saved, they must hear about him. But for them to hear about him, somebody must tell them. So therefore, for someone to call on God's name, someone must tell them, right? That's us, God's messengers. We must tell them with our words. Let's keep reading. Romans 10, 15 says this: and how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. So here we see that for people to be sent to tell God, to tell people about God, then people hear, and once people hear, then they can believe, and once they believe, then they can call in the name of the Lord to be saved. So for all of this to happen, people must be sent. For people to be saved, people, that's us, his messengers, we must be sent. We must be sent to tell others about God. Because God is on a mission to our hurting world, and he's invited you to be his messenger. Church, this invitation is so good because once we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that's when the fun begins. That's when the journey starts, not ends, when we accept that. And so church, when we take this step of obedience to go, when one of God's messengers takes a faithful step of obedience today, it can have an eternal impact tomorrow. God is asking you to go, to take that faithful step of obedience. Our role is not to control what happens from our actions, because God does the saving. Our role is to go. Our role is to go and tell. God will then work miracles. The Holy Spirit transforms lives, not us. We go and tell, and God works miracles. So church, that's our role. Our role is to go. Our role is to be obedient. And so today, the question is, what is your small step of obedience? What is your small step of obedience? That's the question I want you to think on and pray about over these next few weeks as we continue on with this series of Heart Check. What is your small step of obedience? For me, when I was 13, I heard maybe God was calling me to be a missionary. I didn't know what that meant. What's a missionary? So I was like, okay, well, a missionary is someone that goes from the U.S. to Africa to preach the word. Or maybe that goes from Africa to the U.S. to preach the word. Okay, maybe, but I didn't feel God was calling me to be a global missionary. He may be calling some of you, and that's great. If he is, take that step of obedience. But I started to learn what a missionary was, right? A missionary is someone on God's mission sent to a foreign land. And that's why our own understanding of what a missionary is going to a different country to preach the word. But church, scripture tells us that we are citizens of heaven. Heaven is our eternal home. We are here temporarily. Buffalo is not your home. Heaven is your eternal home. You're just here for a little while. And so the question is, will you accept God's invitation to be his missionary, his messenger today? Because church, I'll tell you, today, God has sent me to this place at this moment right now. So wherever my feet are, I proclaim Jesus' name. Tomorrow, my feet may be elsewhere. And so there, where my feet are tomorrow, I will preach Jesus' name. And church, we're asking you the same thing. Wherever you go, wherever your feet are, will you proclaim the name of Jesus with your words and actions? If we don't tell them, how will they hear? If they never hear, how will they ever believe? And if they never believe, how can they call on the name of the Lord to be saved? That's God's mission. So church, will you take that step of obedience to step out in faith and say, God, use me. I'm your messenger. Because when you do that, God will answer. He will push you and he will participate in your life as you participate with what the Holy Spirit is doing in and around your life, whether it's at school, at work, in the nations, wherever it may be. That's God's mission. And you are God's messenger. Now, as we respond to this, as we respond to this question and this invitation to be God's messenger, we're gonna have a time of response and action step after every week of this series. And today we're gonna start with prayer. Because that's what we see Paul did. He longed for people to be saved and he prayed for them. For those of you that were here back in March, we had a guest speaker from one of our partner ministries in India, Becky, who preached, and she said, the backbone of every miracle is prayer. And that's why we need to pray. And church, as much as we want to pray for our partner ministries, today I'm asking you individually to pray for yourself, that God will reveal to you what your step of obedience will be moving forward. Now, there may be a variety of different steps you can take. Maybe you have yet to step and serve. Maybe your faithful step of obedience is simply to go, to be sent. Maybe you have already been sent, but maybe you don't use your words when you minister with people. So maybe your step of obedience is, you've already been sent. Maybe your step of obedience is to use your words, to tell others about God so that they can hear. And church, maybe there's some of you sitting here today or watching online that have yet to believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Once you believe, then you can call on the name of the Lord to be saved. And so today, church, I ask you, if that's you, if you have yet to believe and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, maybe today is the start of your journey as God's messenger, as you accept him as your Lord and Savior. And if that is you, as you pray, I encourage you to find a pastor after service. Go to the prayer room, seek someone out and ask what that looks like, because it's the greatest journey you can ever be on. So as I pray here today, I ask that you pray with me. And as we go forward from here into the next 3 weeks, as we study messengers in the Bible that took a step of obedience, keep praying for yourself. What is your small step of obedience? Because God will answer. So let's pray together today for that, church. God, we love you. We praise you. Your mission is so good, and we're so grateful to be invited to be a part of it. We're so grateful to be included in this journey to our world that you are on. Lord, I pray today that if there is someone here that has yet to go and step out in faith to serve you, Lord, I pray you give them clarity of mind of where to serve and how to serve, and that you'd give them the courage to respond and go. If there is someone here today, Lord, that has yet to share their faith story with anyone, when they're serving, Lord, I pray you give them the courage and the response to you to say that, to say those words, to share their faith with their words. And Lord, if there is someone today who has yet to believe in you and surrender their entire life to you, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that you work in their lives and transform their life forever, that today is the start of their journey to be on mission with you as we participate with your mission wherever we go. God, we are your messengers. We are your church, and we are here to surrender to you. Use us how you will. Speak to us how you may, and Lord, give us the courage to respond and take a small step of obedience. God, we love you and we praise you. Amen. I invite you all to stand and join us as we worship and praise the one true God.